It's Dustin Wilmus.
I wish my dad was more like you.
On KTOE.
Try to see it my way. Do I have to keep on talking till I can go on? While you see it your way, run the risk of knowing that our love may soon be gone. We can work it out. We can work it out.
We are back on KTOE, and today we are talking with Seth Reines, who is an expert on transgender issues, also the author of the book Real Talk for Teens, Jumpstart Guide to Gender Transition and Beyond. Seth, how are you today?
Good, I'm doing great.
Excellent. It's great to be speaking with you again, Seth. And let's talk a bit about your book, Real Talk for Teens, Jumpstart Guide to Gender Transition and Beyond. Tell us a little bit about the book and what led you to write it.
Well, originally when I wrote the book, everybody kept saying to me, you're older, you have a lot of news, you know, and a lot of information that you can give kids and that they can understand. And so, of course, as anyone writes a book, it starts off one way and ends up totally different on the other side. But it's basically a book that I wrote for a kid who may not have any support. So, in other words, they know that they could be transgender, but they still have to get through school, they have to get through college or some kind of after high school type of vocation to live their life. So the book goes through everything. It goes through the A to Z's of transitioning, if that's the road they want to take. It goes through, what do you do about coming out and disclosing? What do you do about bullying? How about your friends in school? What about dating? You know, always being in a safe environment if you disclose to someone that you're dating that you're trans. And it talks about information for kids to be able to go to college that is LGBT friendly. There's organizations, there's actually 15 pages of websites and all kinds of information for kids in the back, and where to get a job in the environments that are LGBT friendly in the environment. And then along with all that, I give them a chapter on what I call the mental toolkit. And this is what everybody, you know, should have in life, and some people don't. Not quitting, learning to respond to people and not reacting, taking responsibility for the things that you do, you know, integrity being one of your finest, you know, tools in the toolbox. And those type of tools, mental tools, will help them get through life, because it's a marathon, and the transition is. And you need to be prepared, you know, not just transitioning, but life in general. And so that's how that book came to be. And I've noticed that, like, a lot of professionals are reading it, which is great, because then they keep it on their bookshelves, and maybe they'll give it to a kid if a kid comes into their office, or they just pass it around to also educate, you know, the older generation, which is the generation that really needs a lot of education, because they didn't grow up with everything on the Internet.
Yeah, definitely. And I read that this is really the only book written about transgender teens. So do you think that we're starting to see things maybe moving in the right direction as far as education and how people handle things?
Well, it's not just the only book written. It's the first book written by a transgender person for transgender teens. There are many people, you know, in the field of psychology and psychiatry and counseling that have written books about the transgender child or the transgender teen, but they themselves aren't trans. So I tried to write it from a perspective of, I've been there, I know what it's like, and this is what you need to do to get through it. Because when I started to write the book, if I Googled it on Amazon, there was the word transgender, there weren't that many books. Now when you Google it, there's a plethora. There's many of bios and autobiographies and all kinds of books coming out now for even young kids, you know, for like K through, you know, kindergarten, first, second, third grade, how to explain that to little kids in school as well. So it's growing. It's a growing field. I'm pleased about it, because my motto is, like, if fear comes first, then education must come second.
Excellent. Again, we're on the phone today with Seth Reines. He's the author of the book Real Talk for Teens, Jumpstart Guide to Gender Transition and Beyond. And you mentioned that some of the people, especially the older generations, didn't have a lot of information, or maybe didn't know exactly the terms and how different things work. Can you explain that maybe to the listeners, the different gender identities and expression and those sorts of things?
Absolutely. Most people don't even know what gender identity is, and they say, what's this new term? It's actually been around. The question is, you wouldn't even think about it, most people in the world, because they don't have a conflict. they'll get up in the morning, they'll get dressed, they'll put on their pants or their tie or their skirt, and they'll say, what am I doing today? But someone who's transgender is always, it's in their head, and they innately know that how they know themselves to be does not identify with the way they were born. There's an incongruence there. And that's what gender identity is. And most people don't understand it because they don't have that spinning in their head 24 hours a day. And so what I try to explain to people, because they think that gender identity and sexual orientation are the same, but they're not. They're clearly, one's the left and one's the right. Sexual orientation is who you are attracted to, period. That's it. So what I say to people simply is gender identity is who you go to bed as, and sexual orientation is who you go to bed with, and they're miles apart.
Can you talk to us a bit, Seth, about, I guess, some of the problems that transgender people face in today's world? To me, it kind of seems like it's, you know, pretty straightforward. I don't have issues with it. Some people really seem to have a lot of issues with it. Can you explain some of the, I guess, the troubles that people have?
Well, one of the biggest troubles we have right now is the bathroom locker room issue. Because of a lack of education, everybody keeps saying, I don't want a man in the women's bathroom. Well, frankly, I don't want a man in the women's bathroom either. But transgender women who are men that transition to women are not men. And that's the short-sightedness that people don't understand. They are actually the ones that would, you know, fear for their life in a bathroom rather than try to go in there and cause any trouble for anyone. It takes everything they have to walk out of the house in, you know, feminine clothing, a dress, or if they're wearing a wig and makeup, to be able to blend into the world. And that's what they want to do. To be successful is to blend, to not stand out. There's the term passing, and that to me is a horrible term because passing sounds like you're trying to get over on someone. So I use the word blend because if you blend, nobody's pointing fingers. So if they can understand from that perspective, someone who dares to step outside of their house in a dress for the first time in makeup and high heels or however they choose to express themselves, which would be what I call their outer wrapper, the clothing that they wear, they want to be able to just go to the grocery store or go to the doctor or the supermarket or wherever they may go, get gasoline, and be able to do the normal errands, go to work, and not have any trouble, be able to go to the bathroom and not have to calculate where's the next bathroom that I have to go to between my house and where I have to go. And whether it's a religious background that is putting the myths in people's head or the lack of education, people are certainly entitled to their religious beliefs, but not when it deals with misconception of people. And that's what's happening, really.
Well, with that being said, I wanted to ask you about the Boy Scouts who recently decided that they would allow transgender kids into the troops and into the camps. And I was an Eagle Scouts, and we had some experience with transgender kids, and it really didn't seem like the kids really cared all that much. It was more of the parents. Does that seem like maybe the tide is changing on that?
You know that. You know, kids are born with a blank slate. They're taught to hate and fear. Most of the time, a kid doesn't care what you are. Okay, that's fine. So you're so-and-so. I don't care. Let's go play. We're trying to do that because, like I said, it's the older generation that has the problem that we need to shift perspective. In this case, I know this woman, Christy. She came up to me in November at a forum that I was doing, and she told me about the troubles that she was having, and she explained the situation because I'm in New Jersey. And she explained the situation here in New Jersey to me, and I told her, you know, some of the organizations that would be able to help her, one, Garden State Equality and the ACLU. And there's other organizations as well. And that's what they did. Now, in New Jersey, we have a law against discrimination that's been on the books for over 10, 11 years. And in a public accommodation, you cannot discriminate against race, creed, color, religion, orientation, gender identity, so forth and so on. So in this state, it was a no-brainer. If you're having a public meeting, you know what? Can't do what you're doing. And it's a very big step for the head of the BSA to make that general announcement that he made a week and a half, 2 weeks ago. I'm thankful that he did. Joe now goes to a troop in Maplewood, New Jersey, which is a very LGBT-friendly place as well, because he didn't want to go back to, and his mother didn't want him to go back to the original troop, because he still felt that even though there's a rule there, you know, there'd still be some discontent. And why put her son into that situation? So he's thoroughly pleased. She, you know, she contacts him all the time. He's happy. And that's the way it should be.
Well, Seth, if there are some listeners out there maybe that have transgender children in their families, what's the best way to approach that? And I guess, are parents doing damage maybe if, you know, a little boy wants a doll for Christmas or a girl wants to dress up as something other than a princess? Or are we maybe causing more trouble than we realize?
No, they're actually causing more trouble when they don't allow it. And the reason I'll tell you is because gender identity is formed between 18 months and 3 years of age. It's the same situation as being gay. People think that you could, you know, send people to therapy and convert them, which in this state's illegal. It's fraud, and you shouldn't do that. And it's just what you know yourself to be. It's not a tangible thing that we can fix, and people have a problem with that. If we can't put you in this box or that one, we don't know what to do. So for those who are wondering or concerned, the HRC.org, HumanRightsCampaign.org, has a map of the country of all the LGBT-friendly clinics. And my suggestion would be to, you know, to go to one of those clinics. Now, of course, they may not be around the corner. It could be an hour, 2 or 3 hours away, but it's not something that you're going to be going to every week, maybe once or twice a year. Because you get into the hands of the people who do this for a living. They know what they're talking about. It's not some therapist down the road who, you know, is three blocks from you that has no clue about gender therapy. And that would be the harm, not taking a child or the family to the right place to start. Because if the kids are younger, they're not going to do anything anyway. Okay, I mean, if it's an 8-year-old or whatever, a 4-year-old, all they're going to do is let them express themselves the way they want, which would mean cut their hair or grow their hair, wear a dress, and, you know, change their clothes. A lot of it, yes, I understand for parents, it may seem like an embarrassment, and what do we do about work, and what do we do about our friends? Well, there's a lot of support groups for parents, one of them being PFLAG, PFLAG.org. They have over 400 chapters. They have a lot of parents coming to support meetings, and parents can talk to parents. They can understand that it's not daunting and it's not as frightful. I mean, after all, if a child gets any type of diagnosis with anything, you know, people are going to be afraid. It's something they don't know. They have to learn about it, whether a child has diabetes or maybe they have ADD or whatever may be the cross the child has to bear. The parents just have to and should be willing, unfortunately they're not, a lot of them, to support their child, because here it is. A trans kid today with access to the internet and knows, you know, that people are transitioning and they watch it and they know that it's out there, there's two choices. You have a happy kid or a dead one. And it's that severe. It's actually that severe. I'm not trying to be alarmist. I'm telling the truth. Because when they see that they could do this or that there are people to help them and they want to know why their parents aren't, there starts a problem, right? And, but, you know, a lot of parents aren't as on board as I'd like them to be. But they are transitioning as well with the child. Don't forget, it's new to them as it is to the child. And they have to say, look, when we agreed to have this child, we didn't know if it was going to be a boy or a girl. We didn't know if it was going to be healthy. And, you know, you hope that parents are going to do right by their child. And this is one of those times that they need to do right by their child. I think once people are educated, it isn't so fearful. It's not so daunting. It's not such a bad thing because they see their kid blossom. They see their kid do well in school. Kid has a lot of friends. And after all, one would like to hope that all parents want is for their kid to be happy and healthy.
Excellent. Again, Seth, it's been great talking with you today. Do you have anything else maybe in the works and possibly a website you would direct the listeners to?
Well, if they want to go up to my website, the short website is sjspeaks.com. And I'm all over the country. I talk at corporations and colleges, diversity training. I do everything. Anything to get the word out there to try to disperse this slowly bubbling cauldron that's happening at this time. And it's amazing. It's truly amazing. When I'm done speaking, the people come up to me and they go, wow. You know, this makes it all clear. And that's all we try to do. You know, I just try to give people a little bit of education and hope that they have enough common sense to go, wow, it's not what I learned when I was a kid. Now I understand. And that's the best that I can hope for. And that, you know, they in turn will in turn help other people who help other people.
Excellent. Yeah, hopefully as a country, as a society, we see things moving in the right direction here. And again, Seth, I really appreciate your time today.
Thank you.
And again, that was Seth Reines. He is the author of the book Real Talk for Teens, Jumpstart Guide to Gender Transition and Beyond. Stay tuned to KTOE. We'll be back after this.